I'm Ben Hunt, retail analyst at Investec, and with me I have our top-ranked consumer staples team, Nicola Mallard,
Good morning.
and Alicia Forry.
Hi there.
Today we're discussing the challenges that COVID-19 is imposing on the FMCG, or fast-moving consumer goods sector, and how consumer behaviour is likely to change in the future, and what the sector will need to do to adapt. So, Nicola, let's kick off. What do you see as the main challenges for the UK-based FMCG companies since the outbreak of COVID-19?
Thanks, Ben. Well, you could probably split them into two camps, demand challenges and supply challenges. On the demand side, anyone with out of home or hospitality exposure has seen a sharp reduction in revenue from this channel over since the UK entered its lockdown period. And in some cases, it's been partly offset by increased demand from the retailers, but it's probably not entirely clear yet what a normal retail week would look like. So consumers' buying habits have been volatile in the past couple of weeks, distorted by panic buying pre-lockdown, some subsequent destocking when they realised they'd bought far too much. Easter, VE Day, good weather, all of these things can influence what people buy. So we're still waiting to see how much offset there is in retail for this food service decline. Now, for those companies only serving retail markets, then they're clearly reporting some very high demanding categories such as tinned food, frozen foods, protein, which forms the centre of most meals. From a supply point of view, the manufacturers are all having to cope with increased absenteeism, although most are reporting that it's easing actually in the last couple of weeks. But also the requirements for social distancing in factories, which means companies are putting in extra staff security measures. I mean, this all adds to cost. But that's the starting point. In addition to those seeing increased demand, they're clearly trying to meet the retailers' demands through things like overtime, some range rationalization, which can increase the length of production runs, or juggling shifts, shift patterns, etc. So it is quite challenging. For those that are trying to accommodate the shift in volume between the out of home and the take home channel, then they're also having to look at pack formats. So if we use soft drinks as an example, the impulse trade would sell a lot of small single serve packs, but the supermarket volumes will all be largely in 2 litre packs. So the manufacturers are needing to shift their production schedules to try and reflect that different pack format. So, Alicia, how does that compare for the multinational operators?
The biggest challenge for the larger companies, particularly the drinks companies, has really been that loss of the out-of-home channel, as you just mentioned, Nicola. And that's not just the loss of restaurants and bars that you might immediately think of, but also the loss of sales at vending machines, school cafeterias, workplace canteens, kiosks that might cater to commuters, bars at sporting events and concerts, museum cafes, the list goes on. It's a big impact on most companies in the drinks industry, which can derive anywhere from 25 to 50% of sales from these out-of-home locations. So if we look at some examples, Coca-Cola has said that it saw volume declines of 25% during the month of April as a direct result of the lockdown restrictions. And ABI, the largest beer company in the world, saw volume declines of 32% in April. And other companies in the spirits category have seen even more dramatically negative trends during April. So it is quite a big impact. Managing these declines while simultaneously having to increase resources to service the growing off-trade channel has been a real challenge. As you highlighted, the formats are different, the frequency of delivery is different, and for spirits in particular, the range can be quite different, much more mainstream. And these companies are probably unable to adjust their costs fast enough, so that's going to lead to some operating deleverage in the short term. And because of this, we have already seen several companies choosing to cut their dividends temporarily. That's in contrast to other areas of consumer goods, such as food, household and personal care, and tobacco, where dividends have been better protected through this crisis. We've also seen a number of drinks companies issuing bonds and drawing down on credit facilities pretty early on in the lockdowns. So that is really something specific to that segment of the global consumer market. It doesn't seem to be in response to any real significant cash flow squeeze yet. So of course, cash generation is going to be under pressure in the short term. This is mainly preventative measures that the companies are taking. But on the positive side, companies, for the most part, have been able to operate continuously throughout the lockdowns. There are some exceptions, of course, such as South Africa, Peru, and Mexico, which banned alcohol production, and some markets have banned the sale of alcohol temporarily. But these limited examples are really not reflective of the larger global picture, which has been pretty supportive of the drinks industry overall. So that's a quick overview, Ben, of the major problems that global consumer companies are facing.
Interesting. And do you think this crisis will change consumer behavior in the future? And if so, how would that affect the FMCG sector?
Well, certainly in the UK, we've seen a couple of changes in behaviour. For example, the shift to longer shelf life foods, a reduction in interest in the short shelf life chilled categories as the sort of opposite of that, increased share for own label, and also increased interest in cooking from scratch. And if we take them in turn, I mean, the shift to longer life options, really, I mean, the dried goods, the frozen tins, etc., it's clearly a reaction to consumers looking to shop less frequently. That's partly due to social distancing, but also that you need to queue for 30 to 40 minutes to get in the store in the first place. Pre-COVID-19, I think the trend was definitely towards smaller and more frequent shopping visits. And that obviously favoured things like short shelf life foods, you know, a product made today to eat tomorrow. It might take time, I think, for shopping frequency to recover. And also, I think consumers may have rediscovered some of these forgotten channels. You know, the frozen aisle has long been seen as old fashioned and out of date with, you know, what consumers need. But in reality, it's one of the most convenient forms of storing food. So and definitely there's been an improved quality in the last 5 years within the frozen aisle in innovation and the product themselves. So, you know, we could see a rediscovery of some of these forgotten channels. I think for our own label, that's probably been forced on consumers as panic buying has probably seen some of their favorite brands sell out first. So it's a forced trial. But again, you know, many have probably been surprised by the relative quality of own label goods, which they can buy at a lower price. And, you know, efficacy for cleaning products is very good. And you know, the flavors, etc., for own label foods, similarly, you know, equivalent to brands in many instances now. I think from the cooking from scratch, this is an interesting one because we had seen some evidence of this anyway pre-COVID. If you sort of point to the growth that we've seen in the popularity of these recipe boxes, and this was a convenient solution provided to the home with all ingredients included in instructions, and it actually sort of let everybody feel they were a bit of a chef. You could see exactly what was going into your food and you had more involvement in its preparation. However, in this instance, I think the one big influencing factor at the moment is time. So clearly the workers that are furloughed have got a lot more spare time, and hence, you know, the interest is grown in gardening, growing your own veg, baking your own bread and cakes, etc. But as the workforce gradually returns to full-time employment, I think time will become a more precious commodity again, and we do see convenience foods moving back up the consumer's agenda. I also think with the likelihood that people are going to remain nervous of eating out for longer than, you know, we might have initially thought, this could offer a new area for manufacturers to showcase innovation in semi-prepared food. So you can have that dine out sort of meal, but actually still being at home. What about you, Alicia? Is there anything that on the, again, the international side?
Yes, I think some aspects of consumer behavior are certainly going to change in the medium term, and some of these changes may even become permanent features of the marketplace that will affect these global multinational companies. For instance, socializing in bars and nightclubs is likely to be replaced with socializing at home with smaller groups of friends and smaller social circles. This is already happening in China. And the drinks companies are having to adapt there to this new consumer preference for small, often professionally catered parties in apartments and houses. So that's a new route to market for them that they're having to learn about that's likely to be here to stay. And then, of course, there's the fact that e-commerce has accelerated during the crisis. That's likely to remain a more popular way for consumers to shop going forwards. And this is expanding e-commerce access for items that typically were not big products for e-commerce, such as beer. They're really expanding the reach of that product in the digital arena. And e-commerce is also opening up new B2B opportunities. So as people are ordering more food deliveries online, the drinks companies are partnering with those food delivery apps and bigger restaurant chains to make sure that their drinks products are featured on the digital menus. So these B2B sales that are opening up new customer relationships will continue to be important long after the crisis. And finally, many companies are saying that the consumer is migrating towards well-established mainstream brands and perhaps being less experimental than they have been in the recent past. And with incomes under pressure, we expect this trend to stay around for a while. So that's likely to be a headwind on sales in the near term, as these brands, these mainstream brands, usually sell at a lower price per unit than the historic average that the companies used to report across their businesses. But the margins are generally pretty high on the mainstream brands, so there is something of a silver lining there.
Interesting times ahead, and certainly your insight has given us much food for thought. Thank you for joining the Investec Consumer team today, and goodbye.